Teo was sure it was due to the horrors Rory and the Uvovo Chell had suffered while prisoners of the Legion Knight. He had asked Rory about it in a mild, no-pressure manner, but Rory had insisted that he remembered nothing at all from when he was captured to when he awoke in the forest. The raucous sounds of voices singing in unison came up from the crater. That great bite out of the mountain's flank had, in the space of a day, gone from a charred stone bowl to a real estate rush when some of those confined to corridor recesses within the mountain realised that here was plenty of room to build a shack or a hut. Branches were gathered from the lower slope woods, while salvaged materials were brought in from nearby trapper towns, even the logger camps to the south. A multitude of shaky-looking shanties were erected and expanded as volunteers continued to turn up. Right now, down in one of the larger huts, a group of newly arrived Norge mountain men, calling themselves the Hakon Hair, were engaged in a contest with the Stonecutter Clan, a band of brawny Scots builders. The contest being the strident bellowing of songs while pints of small beer were consumed. Teo smiled, recalling similar gatherings when he was younger, especially during the winter coup, when eve-of-battle congregations were held, songs were sung, ale was drunk, and loved ones were held close.
"They have every right to celebrate their humanity," he thought, "to celebrate the fire that burns in our hearts. Come the dawn, in just a few hours, we'll be facing terrible, pitiless enemies. We have to succeed. Many will die, but we still have to find a way to destroy the warp well or face our own destruction."
The plans had been laid. Alliances had been negotiated and pacts sealed. Gideon had met with the leader of the Spiral Renegades and again with Solveig and Ian Cameron. Coded messages flitted by crude shortwave back and forth between Tusk Mountain and Hammergard, or the spiralist renegade camp near Port Gagarin. The schematics of war were drawn up, timings and logistics agreed upon. While the Tusk Mountain insurgents bided their time, units of Eastern Town militias were moving through the wild woods that ran north along the ridges and cliffs to merge with the jagged spurs west of Giant's Shoulder. At the same time, bands of spiralists were converging on the steep tracks north of the promontory, many of them armed with portable missile launchers that would be put to good use against the combat mechs. Then there was the bomb, the warp well bomb. Soon after Teo returned with Rory, word came from the Hall of Discourse that the Zeradin was asking to speak with the diminutive Scot. Teo had duly accompanied Rory down to the ceremonial hall, where he clambered up onto the glowing platform and stood there with a distrustful look on his face. The Zeradin had then explained that someone had to take a space-fold bomb up to Giant's Shoulder and use it against the warp well. "Oh, aye," Rory had said. "Is that to stop all these cyborg mad bastards from coming through here?" "Yes, Rory," the Zeradin said. "And since you now have a machine system attunement, you would be able to penetrate their defences while the main attack occupies their full attention." "Well, I do have this thing with machines, right enough," Rory had admitted. "Noticed it a lot since I got back, like just knowing how they work, how to change what they're doing." "Exactly," said the Zeradin. "You can tell the combat mechs to ignore you.